Romans chapter 13, as we walk through this book, and we've come at a transition point at chapter 12, where the brother is getting more personal. All the things that have been talked about are personal things that we believe personally, but he's dealt with them as a church and continues to do so. But it just seemingly in the epistles to the churches, there's a transition from a church fair and more corporate fair in the church to more personal things. And of course, in chapter 12, he starts that off by saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we come to chapter 13. He's dealing with a very day-to-day, very day-to-day thing. And he's dealing with how it is that the church and the people of God are to respond to another institution. I heard a brother say here, I can't remember where I was, so that's, which is fine, but I was recently among some brethren where it was pointed out that there's two institutions, the family and the church. But I'm of the opinion that there's three institutions, and that's what we're going to take a look at here this afternoon, just for the, in the front part of this chapter, before we observe the Lord's Supper. In chapter 13, he's speaking to the members here of the church at Rome, speaking to us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Understand that. There's no power. And this word power here is the same power that the Lord uses in Matthew chapter 28 when he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Okay? And so, it's that same word power. And so, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, so you know what? That can is crazy and is wild and is just terrible in some respects, as the governments of men may be. We can rest in the fact that there's been no man that has risen to power that it's not been ordained by God for him to do so. Okay? He's either been put there by God or allowed there by God. Okay, but God knows all about him being there. He knows all about it. They're ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, those powers described. And I find it interesting that we're at this chapter in this day where we're in, because sad to say, confidence-wise, in our leadership and in the government, the leadership of the government, well, I mean, just confidence is at a low. It's at a low. And because they're pursuing an ungodly way. And so, but nevertheless, we are admonished this. Remember, our brother wrote, if my memory serves me correct about the history, our brother wrote in the day of Nero. And Nero was a terrible, terrible Caesar. He was. But he writes this, and he writes this to this church. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that power resisteth the ordinance of God. And that's the command of God, the directive of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay? Now, understand that the Lord never tells us to obey another at the expense of disobeying him. Okay, so understand that. Understand that. Yet when the government would come upon us, we are to be, as a church and as a people, we are to be passive. We're to receive whatever comes and whatever they bring our way. If they look to arrest me for the sake of preaching the word of God, then Lord help. Lord help, and so be it. We're not to quit obeying God because the government has says for us to quit. But, and to that point, we're to be obedient to that administration of the government, that institution of the government. Because when we're not instructed, when the law is not given unto disobedience to our Lord, when it's not given to disobedience of our Lord, we're to be obedient to it. Okay? As terrible as some of that may be. But it is of God. He has ordained that government be. And if we resist, we'll receive to ourselves damnation, okay, which is that judgment of that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, verse number 3, when it's right. And see, and we in our minds, in my mind, I'll say, we always jump to the exceptions. We jump to the bad case. We jump to the thing that's not right, okay, the unjust rulers and judges of the world. And they do exist, okay. But the Lord has ordained government, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? We should be. We should have respect and reverence to it. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, of the government. For he is a minister. You hear that? He is a minister of God. I am a minister of God. Okay? I have been called by the Lord to preach and called here to pastor Olmsted Baptist Church, and I'm a minister of the Lord. Other brethren that you know are ministers of the Lord. Okay? And we are ministers in the handling of God's Word. But this one that is described here, these rulers, and the one that will give out praise to the obedient, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. He is God's minister. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Condemnation is coming, for he that he beareth not the sword in vain. He can administer capital punishment. He can wound for the sake of keeping the law. He can do so, and he has that authority from God. He beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. It says it again. Okay? He is the minister of God. Listen to this. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So we see here, and I think it's very plain, that there is this institution of the government. It is the institution of the government. A couple things that we want to just point out here quickly this afternoon. We live in a time, we are maybe guilty ourselves or have been guilty of it, poor referral to, say, police officers. Every time we see a police officer, we do not need to think evil, wicked person. We do not need to have come out of our mouth. We would say things like, we call them the cops. Remember, you all remember the days when the police were referred to as the fuzz? That's so funny. I think about that now. That causes me to laugh. But we don't need to. We don't need to refer to the police and to the authority in a bad way. I want us to be reminded of this over here in Jude 8 and 9. Listen to this. Jude speaking about filthy dreamers that defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Okay, and so that's the way we've got the spirit of anarchy at hand in our nation. When government, and it's not right, government officials say, allow a people a time to go ahead and riot. That should not be. That's a breaking down of society and a breaking down of authority in government. When they are respecter of persons, this they will allow, this they will not allow. God's not pleased with that, and they'll give a great answer, because to whom as much is given, much is required. All those things play there. Just because we might have an official or a law officer or something be wrong and unjust towards us, it gives us no cause for us to speak ill of them. We could speak the truth, But the Lord will take care of the wrong that they have done towards us. He will. Listen to this. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. We're not to speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, with contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Michael is there. Moses has died. Satan shows up to take Moses' body, we're told. And Michael is sent by the Lord to prevent that from happening for whatever purpose that the Satan was going to use Moses' body. I would imagine that he would take it to try to make it to where they would worship Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, even though Satan would have it coming. Because Satan wasn't doing right. He was meddling in business that wasn't his. The death of one of the Lord's saints. And the taking care of Moses' body. But Michael didn't bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And so we don't need to be, we don't need to look on the authorities and always think that they're evil. We don't need to have slang names for the police or the police officers and that, even if they would do wickedly or do wrongly in that. We need to know that they fill the office of the minister of God. And if they do it well, they're being obedient to the Lord. And if they do not do it well, they will be accountable to the Lord. And we as the citizens are accountable to them until it crosses the word of the Lord. It says here, he's a minister of God, a revenger. Back at chapter 13 of Romans, of verse number 4. A revenger, carrying out justice. That revenger also is a word that refers to punishment. Punishment. There is the one that would mete out punishment. I think it would be good if they brought back the stocks. Amen? This whole penal system that we have, the whole prison system that we have is just, if I understand it correctly historically, it's something that we got from the Quakers. They thought that men could be reformed and be changed. And instead, somebody said the other day, consider this. We should probably take our old people and put them in jail, because there they'll get every bit of care that they need, and all of their rights will be looked to expressly and in detail in every way. And then take the criminals and put them in the nursing home. It's like, wow. Wow, look at the madness that prevails in our society. Things are flip-flopped, aren't they? Somebody said that, and it's like, whoa. I mean, you can't be in jail and get a hangnail and they won't do something about it, okay? But yet people are neglected in the nursing home. So these are a revenger to execute judgment, execute wrath, it says, okay? So there's anger. There's condemnation, there's judgment for sin, for transgression, upon him that doeth evil. Now, if you don't disobey, does the law enforcement, does the government, does the law of the lands come into play against you? No. It's just like the law of God. The law is not made for one that obeys. The law is made for the disobedient and for the rebellious. And so the minister of God in this is that way. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Okay, so let's take a look at something. The Lord impressed me with this thought and consideration about this of the institution of government. Okay, and so this is talking about the wide range of it, from the governor and one that would be the ruler and those that are appointed by him, different systems all through the country. Some are appointed, some run for office, some are elected thereby and all that. Let's go back to the beginning. Do you know the first mention, that principle first mention is one way that we study the scriptures. What was the first city? Remember the first city? I'll be honest with you, I didn't know. I had a kind of a thought, but I was kind of surprised. Let's take a look over here at Genesis chapter 4. The first city. What would you have a city? Well, you're going to have people that are going to live there, going to live closer together than they would out just in the countryside. And so here we have the first mention of the first city. And it goes on to say here, we know the account. I trust you know the account about Cain and Abel and the terribleness that Cain did in murdering his brother. And then the casting out that the Lord pronounced upon him. The Lord judged him a fugitive and a vagabond. He'll be in the earth, the scripture says. And then we come here to verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, Genesis 4:16, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son. So we have the first mention here of the first city, and Cain named it after Enoch, his son. You have the city of Enoch. Now, what went on and happened? Well, Cain had more children, likely, and then, of course, of time, his children had children. And over the course of time, that city grew. Who do you think was the leader of that city? Well, I think we can well say it was Cain. It was Cain until there was another patriarch in that family that was appointed to that. And that's the way it worked in this day, is that those men that established those cities, they were the leaders of that city. They were the government of that city. What they said went. And in the case of this, at the beginning, all of them were their near children. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on. And there's not anything wrong with that. That was the way the Lord had made it, and that's what was fine for that time. But now it's not well for sisters and brother to marry one another. It's just not good. The Lord straightened that out with Israel and got that on its way. But until that, in this time, it was fine. And I believe, indeed, Cain was the leader. He was the government of that city. If there are people living together and there is no government, there will be mayhem, madness, and chaos. Okay? It'd just be that way. And so then we go on here. What do you think the second city mentioned would be? We'll come over to Genesis 10. Now, this doesn't mean that there weren't cities in between, but just what's mentioned to us and the Lord has pointed out to us here about these, and I believe so. He does everything for a reason in the Scripture. We see here, after the flood, there's Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they're going to fill the earth. And we see here in verse number 6 of chapter 10, the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, and so on. We come to verse number 8, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. That's the way they referred to him, okay? He was a man that was known. Listen, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne in the land of Shinar. This man had more than a city. And Babel, we understand to believe to be his headquarters, but his kingdom went out far. It went out farther than just one city, and he was the king. He was the ruler. A king has a kingdom, and he was the authority. And that's the way it was in that day. We go on to take a look here further. And let's read a little bit further here. Verse 11. And out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh. You know the city of Nineveh. And the city of Rehoboth and Calah. And Resen, between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. Who do you think might have been the ruler or the governor of those cities? That man that went out to build them. He likely did that under the authority of Nimrod. Okay? And so this kings appoint governors and appoint ministers and all that. And on down through time, we've got all the way down to what we have today. Now listen to this. Let's look at this. In Daniel chapter 13, let's see what Brother Nebuchadnezzar has to say about all this, about men governing and men ruling in this institution of government. Not Daniel 13, Daniel 3. Sorry about that. Okay, bear with me here. My pen was having a bad time. 3. Wow, man, I wrote 13 and it's chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Had camp brain. Somebody talked about that, about us having camp brain. I won't tell you who it is. Okay. The Lord deals with Nebuchadnezzar, right? And one day we're going to meet Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't that something? We're going to meet Nebuchadnezzar. I believe the Lord saved him. And he has a dream, and nobody could interpret it. Daniel was blessed of the Lord to interpret it. And we'll not go into all that, but let's pick it up here in verse number 13. In Daniel 4:13, and I saw visions in my head upon my bed, and behold, the watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls of from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart, speaking of this one that was this great tree, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Listen, this is what the one that was in the dream was saying. Okay, this is of God. This matter is by the decrees of the watchers. Daniel's interpreting this. And the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now, if that doesn't help us to understand about the institution of government, I don't know what will. But Nebuchadnezzar, he said, haven't I built Babylon and done all this great work? Well, he pursued it, but you know what? It was given to him of the Lord. It was given of him of the Lord. And he was allowed to pursue it and given to pursue it. And he had come to the power. God takes this kingdom amongst men and he gives it to whomsoever he will. That's the reason there was a real maniac that was over in Idi Amin over in Africa. He was a crazy man. He was insane. And he was guilty of slaughtering, no doubt, tens of thousands of people. But you know who set Idi Amin up as ruler? He had his power and his authority by God. Now, the thing is why is that? Well, you know what? The Lord will judge a nation by giving them a wicked ruler. The Lord will deal with nations according as he's pleased. And we may look on things, we say, man, that's just not right. That's not fair. Remember, you're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with God. And Nebuchadnezzar told it right here how it is. The Lord does this. Let's go switch or come over and go fast forward to verse number 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He got an attitude adjustment, didn't he? Didn't he? He said, I've done all this, and this is, he said, oh no, I've been given this. He understands now. The Lord's opened his eyes. Verse 35. and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, that is God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. Nobody can grab a hold of the Lord's hand and wrist, you know, like we might do our children. You ever stopped your child from touching something hot or getting their hand into something they didn't understand the danger? Or maybe they might just be outright rebelling against it when you told them to leave a thing alone. Nobody does that to God. Nobody grabs a hold of him. It says here, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned unto me, my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What a miracle! That there was no one that stood up, tried to wrest the kingdom away while the Lord was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, if we understand it correctly, dealing with him as a beast of the field for 7 years. 7 years. Men want to come in and take over. That's just natural. Men want to come in and but the Lord kept his kingdom. Till he saved him and dealt with him as he dealt with him and saved him and brought him as he did. Proverbs chapter 21. Let us in this, we do well to be reminded of this. I believe that's the reason that the Lord tells us this and that he has instituted government. He is working in the affairs of this world. He's not just left this world to run away by itself. Indeed, he is working. He's got a plan. Proverbs 21, verse number 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He can take the heart of a king. He can save our president tonight. He can do it. He can take the wicked way of a wicked man and take it and confound that and turn it to another way. He can do whatever he wants to. And so the Lord works, and we need to... We need to hear him and believe him and trust him and know that this is so. So we need to submit to this institution of our Lord, the institution of the family, and then the institution of government, and then the institution of church. Those three institutions of the church, I believe that those three institutions are brought forth in the Scripture. We'll close with this verse, and Brother Stephen read it this morning in regards to prayer, and it is a verse that applies to this. And may we do so. May we do so during the course of the week, not just in the services. I'm glad the brethren that pray publicly do so and pray for our government. We need to, but we need to pray for our government individually too. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications... And they're needed. Prayers, and they're needed. Intercessions, there needs to be some intercession indeed for our leaders and our nation. And giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Yeah, even our governor, who told... I think they were talking about the... There was a county in Tennessee that... The court clerk refused to give out the same gender marriage license. They were told to do so, and the government. It seems like there might have been a court clerk over in Kentucky did so too. Because I heard on the radio the other day that Beshear said Governor Beshear said for them they got to go ahead and do it. They got to go ahead and do it, even though they have this moral conflict. If they're going to hold the office, they got to do it, and. We are to pray for our governor. We're to pray for our county judge. We're to pray for kings and all that are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, they are of the Lord. A member of our church was asked at the last presidential election that said, well, if it's all ordained of the Lord, why even bother to vote? Well, see, we're given a responsibility to vote. See, it's kind of like this with the elect and grace of the Lord. I mean, if the Lord knows his children and all those he's going to save, then why do we have to do anything? The hard shell says, well, there's nothing to be done. Well, the reason we preach the gospel is that's the means by which the Lord is going to reach his children. And so we are to obey him. That's the means that he's chosen to do so. And may we not get all that crossed up. We believe and are thankful for the work of our God and the great grace that he has bestowed upon mankind and choosing and going to save a people. But he's given us a directive to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to do so. And yes, he has ordained our leaders. The Lord knows who's going to be president this next election. And yet we, as his children, we're to well pray for mercy. We deserve worse than we've had as a nation, as a people. But the Lord's full of mercy, and may we pray for mercy, and may we go vote. May we go vote. It's in our nation, in other nations, the people have no choice. And there they are to abide. Our brethren over the centuries have lived in lands and in countries and amongst kindreds and tribes where they had no choice. But yet they were to pray and are to pray. We in our land were given a choice. So we're to take it and use that to the honor and glory of the Lord. And so in all of these things, we honor our Lord. And may we not allow it to get things crossed up. May we pray for all that are in authority, and that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. Listen, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The Lord is pleased when we pray for a righteous leader. Our Lord is pleased when we pray for a corrupt leader, because we're to represent him and be a witness of him. Our Lord is merciful. As the brothers brought out about prayer, we're to be known as a merciful people. We've determined it as a church that we would take the Lord's Supper every quarter of the year, and I'm glad for that. I think it's good to have a set time. I don't think that the frequency that we have it makes it get old. You know, something gets old and worn out, I think, mainly because of our own attitudes, you know.